Hey guys, Eric G from Around the House. Tired of juggling brooms and blowers for cleanup? Meet the Aero Broom, a two-in-one sweeper and cordless leaf blower that works inside and outside your home, all for under $60. This lightweight tool clears dust and debris in half the time, leaving your floors or patio spotless. I've tested it. Trust me, it's a game changer. Visit aerobroom.com now and grab yours. That's AEROBroom.com. Sweep smart.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G., your go-to source for everything home improvement. Whether you're a DIY enthusiast or just looking to make your space shine, Eric G. is here to guide you through the latest tips, tricks, and trends. Coming up in this week's first hour of the show.
I wanted to talk about, are we having a housing crash here in 2025? Let's talk about some of the issues that we have right now. As of today, last time I looked, mortgage rates were about 6.78%. And as we know, when the Fed meets, these are things that can always change. And depending on where the economy is, if it's growing too fast, they're going to raise those rates. If they think we're going into a recession, they're going to lower those rates. But really, mortgage rates this week, at the time that we're recording right now.
So grab your toolbox, put on your thinking cap, and let's get to work right here on Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to the Around the House show, the next generation of home improvement. I'm Eric G. Thanks for joining me today. This hour is brought to you by my friends at Monument Grills. Check them out at monumentgrills.com. They have this brand new Eminescent series. They have the Eminescent 605, the 405, the 425. If you're looking for technology where it'll help you come up with the best grill for the best cooking experience that's affordable, check them out at monumentgrills.com. There are some crazy good grills here that can make your barbecue the best on the block. Today, I wanted to talk a little bit outside of home improvement a little bit, but talk about our homes and the housing crisis we're facing out there and some solutions that we might have that could make things a little bit better. So I thought, let's today dive into a little bit of this to maybe spark some discussion of some things that we can do as homeowners, as voters, to get some of these issues taken care of. Now, this is a different issue in different parts of the country. I'm out here in Oregon. We got a ton of issues. You out in the Midwest probably have a little bit less than we do, but there are still some similar things going on there, but maybe a lot less than us out here. Us on the coast have really got some problems that we're going to have to figure out how to handle. And I think there's some solutions out there, but we got to fix some things first. Now, let me start out with some definitions here that might help us maybe get on the same page for this discussion. First off, yes, we have a housing problem for affordable housing for people. My kids that are in their 20s, one of them has a house he bought, him and his wife. They had to move out to North Dakota to be able to afford it. But in many places out there, people under the age of 35, it's almost impossible for them with a decent job, being a professional, to afford a house these days. And that's a severe problem. Now, on the West Coast out here, we've got some issues where government gets in the way of affordable housing. But let's talk about that a little bit. And there are certain areas in the country. Oregon is one of them. And I can talk about this because I see it here every single day where I live. So we have what we call urban growth boundaries. And what this is, the state of Oregon has forced every city to come up with a 20-year plan of how to keep the city dense and, of course, not build outside of it. And this is the land of good intentions. They're trying to keep urban sprawl, keep the farmland, keep the forests. I get that. But a majority of our land in the state of Oregon is forests and federal or state land. So it's really interesting when you go out to other states, there is an interesting mix of that can be saved, should be saved. And let's talk about those numbers for just a second. I found a really cool list. I think it's over at Ballotpedia. And it talks about federal. So not what the state owns, but what federally, like national Park Service or U.S. Fish and Wildlife, U.S. Bureau of Land Management, which is the BLM, or Department of Interior and the U.S. Forest Service, basically the land that they own in each state. So in Oregon here, as a great example, we have 52.3% is owned by the federal government. So guess what? You're not building houses on that. That's going to be federally managed. And so that is a significant amount of land. If you go to Rhode Island, that's 0.7%. Or if you go to Maine, we're talking, sheesh. Again, we're talking little stuff, 1.5%. Alaska, 60.9%. California, 45.4%. So you start to see how these things happen here. Nevada, 80.1%. New Jersey, 3.6%. New York, 0.8%. So you start to see how this stuff bounces around. Washington State is interesting. They only have 28.6%, but Wyoming is 46%. So you start to get where we're going with this. So really, we already have a ton of protected lands in our area. Over the half the state, we can't be building anything on because that is going to be federal land that is managed. Not going to happen. So this is a law of supply and demand. So what we see with these urban growth boundaries is, yeah, we're maybe protecting farmland. But the problem is, like in our area here, I've got a lot of area out there that's land that's not being farmed. It hasn't been farmed for decades. But people aren't able to build on those homes. So what happens now is when I jump online in my area and want to look for a lot, I'm $300,000-$500,000 for a lot. If they didn't have that urban growth boundary, this is a supply and demand thing. In my city right now, I think there are 3 buildable lots. That's it. And so the problem is, though, is that there's a lot of places that aren't, that are part of the urban growth boundary, especially when you get outside of the city or the urban growth area of Portland as a whole. And these are not things that people vote on. This is unelected government that usually runs this stuff. So this is where the issue is. And so what happens is it creates with supply and demand. If there was 100 lots out there, we might see maybe prices down $150,000 or $200,000, not $400,000 to $500,000. So easily just on the price of the land, because of the urban growth boundary and the limit of supply in areas that have this urban growth boundary, that is one of those things that artificially raises the price because you've got 100 people looking at 4 lots. Guess what? That gets more expensive when you have a bidding war. Where if you have 50 people looking at 100 lots, it's a different program. So that's one of the things that I think we need to modify out there in some states that do this, because we need to find a better balance between protecting farms, which I'm all about, and of course, building homes and having affordable houses for people out there. Now, another thing that's really raised up our prices out there, labor. We are short, 450,000 jobs out there right now across the country, blue-collar jobs in construction. These are jobs that people, electricians, HVAC, carpenters, framers, go down the list. We have not filled those yet. Now, trade schools, we're starting to get this turnaround. I'm seeing more and more areas and states all of a sudden figuring out, wait a minute, we've got a shortage. We've had a shortage for 30 years. We're 30 years behind on that. But what we're seeing, though, is that this is causing rates to go up for what you pay. You're not going to get that plumber out there or that HVAC technician out there for under a couple hundred bucks now for most people. So you look at what electricians and carpenters, you're seeing people now all of a sudden, especially in HVAC, plumbing, electrical, you're seeing people out there making 6 figures a year that are journeymen. So this is where we're starting to see where this stuff starts to get expensive. Now that you've got all these trades working on that house, it's great that they have jobs, but we have a shortage. There's not enough crews out there building. And that's an issue. Now, in my state right now, we're seeing a really huge slowdown of homes right now because of interest rates, tariffs, the economy, all that stuff right now. It has been slowing for over a year. Now we're starting to really see that right now. So hopefully we'll get some stuff changed around. And I wanted to talk a little bit about some of these fees of what we're seeing out there for some people to build homes. If you're going to build a new home in certain cities, I want you to listen to this because you might be surprised at what they're going to charge you to just get the building permit. Don't change that dial. Around the House, we'll be right back after these important messages. We're just getting started. Should I be allowed to be so hot? So many people with... Hey, it's Eric G from the Around the House show. Elevate your grilling game with the all-new Monument Grills Omni Pro Series. The Eminescence 405 is packed with cutting-edge features, blending elegance with expert-level performance. Four powerful burners plus a side-searing station deliver 60,000 BTUs of precision heat. The clear-view lid lets you keep an eye on your masterpiece without losing heat. Stand control with the smart Bluetooth app, track your temps, set timers, and get alerts from anywhere. The LED touch panel ensures effortless monitoring even in bright daylight. Temperature sensing lights keep you grilling anytime, anywhere. This grill is built to last, and it's also backed by a 10-year limited warranty. The Eminescence 405, where power, style, and innovation meet. Check it out and order your new grill at monumentgrills.com. That's monumentgrills.com. Hey guys, it's Eric G, and I have a special offer for you. Do you want to get the podcast a couple days early? How about extended content that isn't in the typical podcast? Maybe you want to check out all the back episodes of the show. And I got a special deal for the first 10 days are free. I want to personally invite you to be an Around the House insider. For about $4 a month, you can get exclusive extended episodes, early access to the weekend show, and exclusive access to me, Eric G, for project questions or comments. Check on the link on your podcast player in the show notes, or head to aroundthehouseonline.com and look for the join here button. Make sure and sign up today. As always, thanks for tuning in to Around the House. Welcome back to the Around the House show, the next generation of home improvement. I'm Eric G. Thanks for joining me today. This hour is brought to you by my friends at Monument Grills. Check them out in their new Omni Pro Eminescence series at monumentgrills.com. If you're looking for that brand new barbecue that'll tell you when your propane tank's empty, or maybe you want to use it on propane until you get the gas over, but you want to convert it, or if you want to have that really cool open glass that you can look to see without opening the lid to see if things are cooking well, check them out at monumentgrills.com. We've been talking about our housing crisis and what we can do to get things back on track. And there's a lot that we can be doing out there. And I wanted to really dive into the education part of this because there are so many people out there that can't afford homes that have really good jobs, but the housing prices have just gone over the top. And it's been a serious issue that I want to really address here. Maybe we can all team up together and make a difference out there for people. Now, one of the big things I'm seeing out there when it comes to fees out there are certain places in the country that are just heavily contributing. And if you saw my post last week on the Around the House Facebook page, I really talked about it there because our development fees here in Oregon and specifically in the city of Portland is completely out of control. I have seen those fees get up to $60,000, $70,000. To just be able to sit there and get a building permit to build your house in the city limits. And it is absolutely crazy. As an example, these system development charges can be absolutely crazy. So let's dive into this. These are some serious numbers when you start looking at stuff. So when I start looking at sanitary sewer system development charges, so they have this. Basically, when you start out, for residential, this is the cheapest one here. So rate per drainage fixture, not going to get into the weeds on this, $327. But stormwater system development charges, $507 per 1,000 square feet of stormwater billable area. So they're talking about areas that you have cover, buildings, rooftop, patios, driveways, all that stuff comes up. So it is absolutely crazy. Now, that's not even where it gets bad. If I'm going to build a 2,300 square foot house, I'm not in the central city area, my residential fees here for Park and Rec to pay for parks. $17,000. $17,016. So $17,016 for non-central city. Now, this also goes for commercial buildings. So we see that. So we see that when we're getting into affordable housing units, that kind of stuff. Now, let's go over to transportation. So if we start looking at that, this is where this stuff adds up. Residential, single family house, $6,356 for the transportation development charges. So you're paying for the buses, you're paying for all that stuff. That's what that is. Now, it gets pretty crazy from there, but that's where that is. Now, the other stuff is the water system development charges. So if I have a 3/4 inch water meter, pretty common, $7,186. If I decide, hey, I want to have a sprinkler system in the house, or I've got some other stuff I need to go to a 1 inch to make that work, that is $11,977. Now, if you had to go to a big one, maybe they're forcing you to put in a sprinkler system, or you've got some other stuff where you need it, this would be really big for a large house at 1.5 inches. That's $23,955. Now, this is not for that. This is just them taking the water meter out, putting it in, and that is the system development charges. You can see on top of the 11 pages of permit fees that they have, that we're not going to get into, of how this stuff can be $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 for a single family residence. Now, I will say that the light bulb turned to dim in Portland and at the Oregon governor. They decided, even though I've been saying for a decade that these fees are really hurting homeowners trying to get into places, they are decided that they had a goal that they set for new homes to cut the shortage of homes out there. They just came out last week and said, hey, we're gonna maybe try to see if we can waive these fees for 3 years until we hit the goal of what, 3,000 or 4,000 units that they want to have out there. Well, that's all in good. But that adding $70,000 to a house, even if it's $50,000, that's a lot. Having the urban growth boundary adding $150,000 to $200,000 to the price of the property to go in there. This starts to add up really quickly. And that's where I think we're really losing it as far as common sense to get people into affordable housing. The government has got their hands so deep in the piggy bank here by stopping the growth, but requiring it as they have their goals. And of course, these development fees. This is how crazy it used to be. And it's still that same way. When I was a kitchen and bath designer working in Portland, I'd roll up to somebody's house. And if we were spending over $25,000 at the time on a remodel project, we had to meet with the Forestry Commission and they would come out and tell you where you were forced to put 2 trees in your yard, because you were going to help the canopy of trees in the Portland area. So as part of your kitchen remodel, you had to put in thousands of dollars for the trees exactly where they told you, not where you designed it, but where they told you they wanted your trees put. Now, this could be over. I've had this happen. They put it over and said, that's right over the top of my sewer line. I don't want to put a tree right there. Didn't matter. That's where they wanted it. So there was a lot of these things right here that really caused some serious issues. And it just keeps adding up. Now, I know all of our friends out in the Midwest, all the ones out there from Texas to North Dakota, up to parts of Michigan, all of you guys out there in the South are absolutely laughing at us out here in the West Coast, because we've got some serious problems. Now, you guys have different issues down there. Lack of skilled trades. Some areas are lack of actual licensing for builders. That's a problem. If I look in Arizona and Texas and see some of the problems that we're having with house inspections and builders putting out low quality work and really having the homeowner having to fight them just to get warranty stuff done, Arizona's big on that. They've got some serious big issues with that. Those are things that you have to be careful with. But there's plenty of issues out there all to go around on making sure that we have housing for people out there. You think about it. If someone's going to be living in a rental house for 20 years, wouldn't it be nice if they had a 20-year loan and they were paid off? So when they get farther in life, that if they stayed there, everything would be paid for? How cool would that be? I just see that we're going to have a serious issue here if we keep going down this same road where we have the landowners and the renters. And I think that's where we're going to end up if we don't turn this ship around. Now, when we come back, I'm going to talk about, is there going to be a housing crash in 2025? Is that going to be a big deal? We're going to talk about that when we come back. If you want to find out more about us here at the show, head over to a brand new website. That's aroundthehouseonline.com. You can find us there and make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channels. We've got one for, of course, the radio show and podcast that you're listening here, but we've got one for the Around the House Northwest television show. And of course, all the other channels as well. And you can find us over there. Around the House, we'll be right back after these important messages. Don't change that dial. I'm going to answer that question. Is there going to be a housing crash in 2025? Just as soon as we return. Don't go anywhere.
To find out more information, head to aroundthehouseonline.com. Don't change that dial. Around the House will be right back after these important messages. Let's sound that
fan that keeps us breathing. Attention, Around the House fans. We've got some exciting news. Our website just got a major upgrade thanks to the pros at SiteHypeDesigns.com. Now, it's easier than ever to catch up on episodes, find expert home improvement tips, and connect with us. Head over to AroundTheHouseOnline.com and check out the fresh new look. It's your ultimate home for everything around the house. AroundTheHouseOnline.com, built for homeowners, designed for you.
If I could dream. Is your website losing you money instead of making it? Slow load times, outdated design, or a clunky mobile experience could be driving those customers away. At SiteHypeDesigns.com, we turn bad websites into high-performing, customer-winning machines. Our expert designers create sleek, fast, and SEO-optimized sites that don't just look good. They convert visitors into paying customers. Don't let a weak website hold you back. Visit SiteHypeDesigns.com today for a free website audit and discover how we can take your business to the next level. SiteHypeDesigns.com. Websites that work as hard as you do.
For our Around the House listeners, use promo code Eric G for a free website audit and a free half-hour consultation call.
Welcome back to the Around the House Show, the next generation of home improvement. I'm Eric G. Thanks for joining me today. If you want to find out more about us here at the show, head to aroundthehouseonline.com. And of course, if you want to find all our social media channels, it's all over there. YouTube for the radio show and podcast, and of course, the one for the TV show, Around the House Northwest, that airs every single weekend. And this hour is brought to you by our friends at Monty McGrills. Check them out at montymcgrills.com. I wanted to talk about, are we having a housing crash here in 2025? Let's talk about some of the issues that we have right now. As of today, last time I looked, mortgage rates were about 6.78%. And as we know, when the Fed meets, these are things that can always change. And depending on where the economy is, if it's growing too fast, they're going to raise those rates. If they think we're going into a recession, they're going to lower those rates. But really, mortgage rates this week, at the time we're recording right now, they're slightly down a little bit, but really we're just waiting to see how the Fed does on their next meeting. But there's the May Federal Reserve meeting. I always hope that they reduce stuff and get us dialed in a little bit. But that's one of our problems right now, because that interest rate can add thousands of dollars to monthly payments for bigger homes, or hundreds of dollars to more affordable homes. These are things that add up. But it doesn't just stop there. If you're looking at builders out there that are wanting to borrow money, and now when you're talking small businesses, whether you're a construction company or a builder or anybody else out there, many times for them to get, we have a serious problem with small business financing right now. To get money, some of these people are paying 30 or 40%. Their own personal credit card has a better rate than what some companies are charging for this. And so we've got a really big problem with small business loans out there. So the electrician, the plumber, the HVAC people, if they're having to buy materials up front, or they're carrying that until they get paid for stuff, that happens in construction, they're paying a massive amount, and that adds to the cost of everything else. So it's not only the interest rate that we see for the home, it's the interest rate for everything else that starts to add up, and it compounds. So that's where it is. Now, that is one little part of this whole thing. Now, the big issue that I really am worried about, this is the one that I shake my head and go, okay, this is where, you know, are we going to have that crash, that real estate crash that we've seen in other decades where things crash? Usually what happens when we see a real estate crash means that it's a hot market. Houses are selling. And then when it crashes, people stop buying. And so what happens is there's a glut of inventory. There's a lot of inventory. We end up seeing builders that are overextended. They kept building, and all of a sudden they got stuck with a bunch of houses that aren't sellable or sellable at the rates that they needed to pay the bills. That's traditionally what causes a real estate crash. Now, the big thing here is that going to happen in 2025. First, we don't have a hot market nationally. Right now, I know companies out there that there are specific little marketplaces, like in my area here in Lake Oswego where I live, but there are plenty of places out there that people aren't building. They are not convinced that they're going to sell those homes. So we're seeing building go way down. And nationally, we're seeing those numbers down double digits usually right now. And so that's really where we're at. So really, we don't have the market conditions, in my opinion, for us to see a big crash here. We're not going to see houses lose $200,000 in price unless you're up in the millions of dollars, but you're not going to see a 20% loss or a 30% loss in homes out there because there's not the inventory out there. I have a buddy who's a realtor trying to sell houses and there are people out there, and he's told me these stories. There are people out there that have put in 4, 6, 9 offers in on properties. And they're the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th offer in. And on a $600,000-$800,000 home, they're offering $75,000 over selling price, and they're still not getting it. Now, the problem is when we see those kind of situations, those are usually more cash buyers because you can offer $75,000 over, but when you go to get your loan and the bank looks at it and goes, you're $80,000 over what the value is. They're not going to loan you on that because they're upside down $80,000. So that's where the cash buyers come in and really can change that out. Now, of course, people here quickly go to blame California for that. But that's not really the big part of the problem here. It's just that we don't have enough houses on the market. And we're seeing people out there pulling out of retirement, things like that, to be able to afford these homes. And that's a really big issue. And that's going to really keep, it's great if you're selling, but if you go to turn around and buy it and you can't buy a house. I was looking at houses in my area, in my price point. When I went online and looked in my city here, I had 11. So that's why I'm trying to get my house up finished and get it up for sale. So I can do that and move on to different things. But that's one of those things that you're seeing out there. It's really interesting. So we don't have builders extended out there. We do have some builders extended in an interesting way. I think that we see, I've got some higher end builders out there that I know that are going out there and buying up properties, and they've been buying up a lot of properties. And these are $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 homes, mostly $500,000 and $600,000 homes that they're buying that are perfectly good homes. They're buying them to tear down, to put a $1.5 to $3 million home on there because they've got the people to buy it. Now, part of that reason is that I live in an area that's got killer schools. There's people coming in from all over the country, good sports teams, good schools. And so we are a little donut hole in the Portland area of that. And it's not a bad place to be. But those houses are gone. But are some of those builders extended? Yeah, they could be. And there's a lot of people out there that are seeing the stock market. They're seeing interest rates, and they just don't want to pull the trigger on it. I know on the remodeling side, kitchen and bathroom remodeling, all the big projects, those have slowed way down for many people. People are not out there with the price of things going, ooh, I want to go spend $150,000 on a remodel. It's just not happening that way. So those are conditions that I worry about. Are we going to see less builders out there because things are slow? Yeah. Are we going to see less contractors out there? Yeah. I know some of the people out there that run nonprofits. They take used building materials and help people to stay in their homes, and they're selling them and they're doing stuff kind of like what Habitat for Humanity does. A lot of these people are saying, man, people are so tight on money that they're selling those products instead of taking it by the store and donating them. So there's a lot less there. I went into one of my used places looking for 125 square feet of shiplap for a project. Couldn't be found. So these are issues that we're seeing out there that are really starting to add to that. So we're just going to have to see what happens here on this with the economy. So in a nutshell, are we going to see a housing crash? I don't see how that could happen without having some kind of a much bigger economy issue. Like, we would have to have the economy crash, stock market crash, and people be out of work. We'd have to see like Great Depression type stuff to see that happen. And I just don't see that coming right now, because we've got, no matter who the president is out there, we've got a much better monetary policy that makes things a little more controlled, because people understand it a little bit more than we did in the 1920s when we saw that. So things to consider when you're looking at it. But I don't see that there's going to be a crash. I know there's a lot of people that are saying it, but I think they're hopeful to see that we've got that. Now, when we come back here in a minute, we're going to talk a little bit more here about how do we deal with the houseless, homeless? How do we deal with people that can't afford to even get into an apartment out there? What can we do to make that affordable for people? And I've got some great answers for this. This is something I'm going to put together here in a future episode, a roundtable of a bunch of stakeholders in this, because I'm seeing some fraud, waste, abuse, things like that I think are not helping people, and it's making some people rich. And I want to talk about that when we come back, because there are some big dollars getting spent out there with no results. And I think we need to, as people out there in the community, say, wait a minute, let's rethink how we do it, because there's some easy answers. We just got to make the hard decisions to do it. We'll do that just as soon as Around the House returns. Don't change that dial. We're going to wrap up here in this next segment, our housing crisis and what we can do to get it back on track, just as soon as we return. Don't go anywhere.
To find out more information, head to AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Don't change that dial. Around the House will be right back after these important messages.
Hey guys, it's Eric G from Around the House Show. We'd really appreciate your help with some awesome 5-star reviews on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you tune into your podcast. Big thanks, everyone, and a shout out to our dedicated listeners of Around the House. Hey, it's Eric G with Around the House. Are you looking to grow your business? Need a spokesperson for your company? Maybe an MC for an upcoming trade show? Or maybe you want to up your game and shoot some promotional videos? My team of experts would love to chat with you. Head to AroundTheHouseOnline.com and fill out the contact us form, and we'll set something up. Thanks for listening to Around the House. Welcome back to the Around the House Show, the next generation of home improvement. I'm Eric G. You know, thanks for joining me today. If you want to find out more about us, head to our website, AroundTheHouseOnline.com. And there's a lot more over there as far as our YouTube channel and everything else. And we've got all our social media, so you can follow us right there. If you want to comment on this episode, send me a line over there. There's a contact us page that'll send right over into my inbox. Now, today we've been talking about our housing crisis and what we can do to get it back on track. And by the way, this episode is brought to you by our friends at Monument Grills. If you're looking for a brand new barbecue, Mother's Day, Father's Day. Mother's Day is a little tight with that being this weekend, but Father's Day is around the corner as well. And you could get it early next week if you go over to MonumentGrills.com. So here's the thing. We've been talking about the housing crisis and what I think we could do to get back on track. One of the biggest ones we haven't talked about is the homeless population that we've got out there. Now, I'm not much into using all the kinder, gentler terms of the houseless or whatever else we want to call it. Let's just call it what it is. I'm all about calling the spade a spade. But here's our problem. We don't have a housing shortage for those people. The first thing we need to do, with a majority of them needing mental health care, not all of them, drug addiction. Many times there's mental health issues from previous trauma or whatever the mental health issue came from. and they self-medicate. Now, there are a lot of people out there that are in a bad situation that are working jobs still and are in tents and they're clean. I'm just saying a majority. Majority can be 51%, but there's a lot of people out there that I talk to, a lot of people out there that are helping people, and a lot of the people out there that are camping that aren't staying in shelters are there because they don't want to follow the rules, and we're going to have to deal with that. Now, one of the issues that we see in my area here is that we see tons, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, depending on where you want to count and how big of an area, spent on dealing with the issue. The problem is my guess is there's probably 15 cents on the dollar that actually makes it to the problem. There are so many dollars that are being spent that are going to private nonprofits that aren't putting the money where it should be. There are people getting rich off the problem. And if you fix the problem, then you can't get the more money. And guess what happens? We don't fix the problem. Now, I've got a lot of ways that we could do this. I think we need to turn around. And my opinion is we need to sit there and get some mental health care and drug treatment for these folks. For the ones that are out there that are drug users, I think if we get them help, get them the mental health care they need, now they're going to be able to maybe get a job, get some job training, and maybe we can then put them in a house that they're not going to trash or burn down. You can't be putting meth heads in a house and expect it not to get trashed when they're actively using drugs. It's just not going to happen. So this isn't a shove them in a house situation. This is a, we need to fix the root cause of this. And unfortunately, we haven't had a proper mental health care system since the 80s. And we got to come into a new way of dealing with that. The problem is that that's going to be like trying to create the VA again. Now, I have an idea with that, too. Some people call me crazy for this. But if I could wave a magic wand, what I would do is put out to bid hospitalization and the medical care for the VA. Find out what company's going to cover what. Whether it's, Blue Cross. Just name a company out there. Whoever it is. Could be Kaiser for us out here on the West Coast. Whoever it is. Put her out to bed, and then you just give all our veterans that have busted their butt for everybody out there that have served our country, you give them a Visa-like credit card that they can walk into any doctor they want to go see. It's the one up the street. They shouldn't have to get in the car to drive for 2 hours to go to the VA. Why not go to the doctor down the street that they know? Hand them the card, take care of it. Then we take the existing VA hospital system, turn that into our mental health care system for our homeless and our drug treatment centers. Then we might have a good system going. And we've got to hold those people accountable as well. If they don't go in there, we're going to have to lock people down and get them help. And that's something that we could do with our legal system. There's ways to do this that is kind and gentle and a little forceful. They're like 8-year-old kids out there. They're throwing tantrums. Sometimes you got to get it under control. And that's what I think we need to do to solve this problem. Then we can start talking about affordable housing. I'm seeing cities building affordable housing units that are $700,000-$800,000 a piece. And I'm shaking my head going, if you wouldn't have built that as a city, you could have turned around and built that privately maybe and built twice as many units. It's absolutely crazy. There are so many dollars being wasted out there. And there are so many things we can be doing. You know, they're building right now Skyline Homes. I had them on a show earlier, earlier this year. Champion Homes is the parent company. They're building manufactured housing, this duplexes. Wow. You could go in there and spend $100,000 maybe and put 2 units in. Why are we getting crazy with this? We could be building these things, take an area of the Port District that they aren't using. Take that big piece of land, put some utilities in there, drop a bus line in there. And guess what? You could put folks in there in nice, affordable houses to be living in. Way cheaper than having a city build it and support the local economy. You know, maybe you got $60,000, $70,000 per unit. There's answers here, guys. Especially when we've got land out there that could be used that the city already owns or the county or the state already owns. There's answers. No one's trying to work hard on it because they're making money for themselves. And that's where I got a really big issue. There are answers. If you were listening on this show here 8-9 years ago, I spent a lot of time because the city of Portland here had built this whole big, huge Wapato jail center. They were going to farm it out and sell it out so other people could send their inmates here. Well, guess what happened? That didn't work out. They got it built. By the time they got it built, the need was gone. They were trying to tear it down. And a local entrepreneur bought it at auction for pennies on the dollar and worked with a local nonprofit to turn it into a shelter for people to get help. Now, they were going to tear that down. They wanted to make it into an office retail. They were going to take this brand new, full access, ready to roll, fully stocked jail that never had an inmate. Had the hospital beds, had everything in it, and they were going to tear it down and sell off the property. And they fought to do that. And that's the insanity. There's a lot of things we can be doing. I know of a lot of hospitals out there since we've had all these medical issues out there on the doctor front. I mean, it can take you 2 months to get in to see your doctor now. And a lot of hospitals out there in rural areas that have closed up. A lot of them. We should be using those spaces. They've already got the systems there. Little update. Those would be great places to put people into. If we got to put a fence around the outside because it's a lockdown, so be it. But there's a lot of answers, guys, that we could be doing. Those empty hospitals that are sitting there falling apart, we could be fixing those up and putting people in there and helping them out. And right now, we're just shuffling them around and hiding them. You know, when a big event in a metropolitan city happens, they shove them all to the other side. We're just moving around the shells here in the shell game. We've got to figure this out. So there's a lot of options out there in affordable housing. There's a lot of options out there of getting people the treatment they need. We just haven't had a leader that's been trying to work on it yet that has gotten any traction with it. So I hope that as people, as humans, I'd love it if we could put our heads together and find some solutions to this. So we're going to be talking a little bit more about this, about how we can do this, because guess what? You as a homeowner and the homeless people that are sleeping on the side of your house or stealing stuff off your porch or whatever else, we're going to reduce crime by getting these people the help they need and make your city that you live in more enjoyable, safer for the next generation. So I think there's a lot of great answers out there that we can chase down. We're just going to have to do it and make some hard decisions. And yeah, spend some money, but that doesn't mean a blank check. That just means that we got to do something smart instead of letting a handful of people get rich off of this whole thing and not help people. It's absolutely insane. It's just as crazy as the city of Portland when they went through and decided that they were going to make drugs legal in the city and then wondered why everybody was dying from overdoses. And everybody pointed at each other and went, huh, we better change that. And they finally did. But that was a horrible experiment that killed a lot of people. Let's see if we can help everybody out, guys. Let's think about it. If you got suggestions, love to hear them. Send them over to aroundthehouseonline.com. Thanks for tuning in to Around the House. We'll see you for the next one.
Hey, I'm producer Jim from Around the House with Eric G. I work with Eric every day, so trust me when I say he's got the best home improvement tips on YouTube. He'll teach you how to fix your house, save money, and avoid those oops moments, like the time he almost glued himself to a countertop. Seriously, if you own a home or just like watching a guy who might set off the smoke detector, you need to subscribe to at Around the House Eric G. Because if Eric's not helping you, I guarantee he's breaking something, and you don't want to miss that. You won't be disappointed.